Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we give our predictions and previews for the teams still playing basketball. Those are the playoff ones. They start tomorrow. Of course, there's a large group of teams that will not make the playoffs, and those teams are going in to the NBA draft lottery, which stinks. So I think it's about time that we try and fix it with a little help from one of our friends.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
We are joined by Zach Harper of The Athletic because I saw an Instagram video from you the other day, Zach, where you were trying to fix the NBA's draft lottery. And that seemed relevant to the Washington Wizards fans in our audience.
Sure.
And so the headline of this segment is, can we fix the NBA draft lottery in less than 30 minutes? You think we can do it, Zach?
Absolutely. I think it's a super easy fix.
All right. Well, let's start there then. What is your fix? And then we can go in reverse and talk about the problems. But let's talk about solutions first, since you already have them.
Yeah. I unweigh the lottery. That's all you need to do. Just unweigh the lottery. You miss the playoffs, you got a 1 in 14 chance. I don't think there are any real problems in this, like actual problems. There are theories, there are hypotheticals, but I don't understand why this went away. This used to be the system, and then we started having to like hold franchises' hands to make them better and everything. Like, I just think we can be realists. Like, let's just unweigh the lottery. You miss the playoffs, 1 in 14.
Okay, done. All right, we did it. Everybody, that's Zach Harper.
That's it.
We'll be right back.
Thanks for having me.
No, so let's talk through why we got here, which is essentially that in American sports, we believe in this competitive balance thing. In the country that screams about how we shouldn't give out participation trophies, we have the best competitive balance thing, you know, rules in the world. I will say it makes the NFL great. Like, I don't actually think competitive balance rules are bad. It's a league in the NFL that's designed to go 8-8.
Sure.
And every single year, unless you have one of the best quarterbacks or terrible injuries, most teams finish right around there. Yeah. The NBA tries this. It's so hard because there's five dudes on the floor per team at once. And if one of them is, say, LeBron James, that team's just going to win a lot more. And thus, you have this world where everyone is trying to get their own LeBron James, their own Steph Curry, their own Victor Wembanyama. And I guess it starts with the fact that we think the teams that are farthest away, the teams that finish worst, deserve the best chance at that. Why do you think that is a stupid idea?
I think parity sucks in the NBA. I think parity is for losers. Like, I think it works in the NFL. Like, I'm with you. Like, I think competitive balance in the NFL works. I think it's a smart idea. I think it drives that league because of the way the system is, the way the schedule is, the amount of games. I think it is really smart. 82 games in basketball, a bunch of 41 and 41 teams is not good. It's historically not good for business. We see the league thrive at its best when there are dynasties to topple. We love watching a dynasty get built, and then we love watching it get torn down. Like, that is just historically the Celtics, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Bulls, the Lakers, the, you know, the Spurs, the Warriors. Like, this is when the league is at its best historically. Everyone pines for, you know, how great the 80s and 90s were when it was the Celtics and Lakers and the Bulls doing their thing. And then we cry about, you know, oh, the Warriors are too good and they've broken basketball. Like, what do you want? Like, it's so stupid to me that we have forgotten what makes the NBA great. And so when we get into this whole participation trophy thing with trying to help teams, like, that, it's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be hard to build. You should hire competent people. You should run your team. Like, I know that, like, look, it's not my money, it's not my team, but I truly believe, like, the owner's job is to sign the check. Hire the basketball people to do the basketball things and sign the checks. You want a perfect example of it? Look at Sacramento. Vivek Ranadive, like, keeps interfering every year and a half, firing a coach, like, every year and a half to 2 years, and that team has had, like, one good year in 18 years. And they are, like, we thought they were no longer a joke, and look at where they are again. They're a joke again. Like, not as bad as they were, but, no, like, no one's going to take them seriously as they keep cycling through. And we've got these franchises that keep going through this. The owner's job is to sign the checks, let the basketball people do the basketball stuff, and it's supposed to be hard. Like, I don't think you should get extra points because you decided to lose more games. And if we're saying the last month and a half to 2 months of a season are unwatchable and things that fans should not pay to go see because the product is so bad, then why are we incentivizing that? Like, that is my, that's my issue with it is, okay, this is, then we need to find a way to eliminate it, and it doesn't need to be complicated.
I will take it an even step further. Zach Harper from The Athletic is with us here on The Hoffman Show. The line of the social video that I saw from you that I enjoyed the most was basically like, but what about the bad teams? And I can't say exactly what you said because that was a social video and this is the radio. But the radio version is screw them. And I actually think it actually is more than just screw them. Or in some ways it's less than that. Is I think what the current system does is invites the kind of mediocrity that we're trying to avoid. That if you get one good player, and this is why I very much actually appreciate, I know the Wizards nationally are still seen as a laughingstock. I believe in what they're doing. I'm not saying it's going to work. Those are two different things because there's luck involved, which gets us back to this whole silly lottery system in the first place. But like the Wizards are trying to make sure they don't win too many games while also trying to find really young players that can play because they need talent. They're trying to develop them and they understand like if we're not bad, like really bad record wise for multiple years, we're not going to accumulate the enough talent to be good.
Right.
Oklahoma City was able to do that via trades with getting Shea. They obviously are bad for a couple of years. They get Chet and it's like, and they hit a couple of those, you know, 7-8 level picks, you know, multiple guys named Jalen Williams. And all of a sudden they've got a juggernaut.
Yeah.
And what happens to a lot of teams is they get one guy and then they get stuck in the middle because they're too good to be bad enough to get more good talent. And I actually think either unweighting the lottery or you even proposed, I think in there, reverse weighting the lottery. I've thought about like, what if you had a pyramid system where like the worst team or the worst place to be is eighth. So if you're getting bad near the end, you can either try to go up and make the playoffs. And if you miss, okay, we have a soft landing. Or, okay, we'll tank it because all our dudes are hurt and, you know, maybe we'll play a bunch of G League guys anyway. And that's already happening, but it's less teams doing that. But that if you incentivize, can we get to that point where we're on the verge of being good? That is many ways the worst place to be in the NBA. But if we can incentivize teams to go on the ascent and go on the journey, I think that is actually the better way to avoid the problem with the dynasty here, dynasty there bit is the dynasties always wind up in like three cities. And I think the NBA and the league office would be like, we need to give every fan base hope that they can be good. I think unweighting the lottery or reverse weighting the lottery or some kind of incentive to actually aim towards the playoffs is the way to do that, not the current system.
Yeah, the current system is garbage. Like, because you get into the situation where, all right, Victor Wembanyama is going to be the number one pick in the draft. Of course teams are going to lose.
Look,
like it's a 7'5" guy who handles the ball like a guard. Like, of course you're going to lose his. I was advocating, like, you should tank for this guy. I thought Utah not tanking for them was the dumb, like, great.
And boy, good did luck they make up for pride. It this year.
Good luck with your pride. Congratulations. Yeah. You're idiots. Yeah. Like, that's so dumb. Like, and I'm with you. Like, I actually, look, I've made a lot of Wizards jokes over the years. Like, a lot of Wizards jokes. This year, I was like, legitimately, I think people thought I was being tongue-in-cheek. I legitimately enjoyed them. Like, yeah. A lot of young guys, it took Sar a little bit to get going, but him, Bub, Keyshawn George, like, you know, throwing
bringing in AJ
like,
Johnson in the middle of the year,
bringing in Bilal. AJ Johnson in, even Kispert to a certain
freaking
degree. Like,
Shem Penny as it goes from a G League guy who's doing 20 and 14 every other night. Like, what are we
was
doing?
Great. I mean, Shaedon Sharpe did murder him with a dunk, but like, yeah, before well, that, like, he did really well. I was a big Coulibaly guy, like, he was one of my favorite prospects in that draft because as I was scouting Wemby, I would like all these highlights. I'm like, this Coulibaly guy can play. Like he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And so like there's a way to play the young guys that is development. Right. And I thought they did a great job of doing that. And yes, there were blowouts, but there were also some really competitive moments. I'm for that. I'm not for just throwing out crap and saying, well, we got to get these losses. We got to get to that 14% chance of getting the number one pick. And so whatever takes away that incentive to keep putting a bad product on the floor. You can lose games. That's fine. There's going to be bad teams. That's fine. It's about making a good product. We are still putting on a show. This is still entertainment. Like, you're still charging fans, you know, ticket prices and concessions. Like, what did Utah take away? Like, did they put tickets on sale at a discount? No, those ticket prices are still the ticket prices. Like, that was a horrible, embarrassing product to the point where Will Hardy, the coach, was basically revolting against his own team in press conferences towards the end. Like, if we're going to complain about the product all year round, which I found to be ridiculous anyways, we're complaining about ratings and three-pointers and all this stuff. Like, are you watching what's on the floor? Like, this was a great year of basketball until, like, eight teams at the end put bad products on the floor for the last 2 months. So I think it's just a simple way of taking it away. And I do think there are cities set up to build dynasties with. Like, yes, you've had the Lakers and when Michael Jordan was around, you had the Bulls. And outside of him being around, that franchise has been garbage, like pretty much every other year, aside from like a couple Derrick Rose years. But yes, the Lakers and the Celtics, and like you do have these cities, but also like you had San Antonio for 15 years be a title contender, right? The Thunder are set up in Oklahoma City to be great for, you know, probably 10 to 15 years, assuming they can keep this thing together. You have teams able to build in this new collective bargaining agreement for a certain amount of time. It never lasts as long as we think it's going to, but I do think you can build things in these other cities. I don't think it takes putting a horrendous product on the floor at the end of the season to do it.
I think that also as the game becomes more international, that's going to happen as well, because a guy like Giannis is just like, I'm happy to be in America, not hiding in Greece, where my family is constantly being afraid of being deported. If you watch like the documentary on him that came out last year, like that was a real reality for him, or the Disney movie version, either one. Like he doesn't care. He's in Milwaukee. He's psyched to be in the NBA. It's ironic that Luka wound up with the Lakers, but he was perfectly happy in Dallas. In fact, we know he's very sad to leave Dallas.
He was bummed. He was like very emotional. Yeah.
And so I think that now that we have these international guys as the best players in the sport, and even like some of the best young American players, like Ja's become a more complicated figure, but like, I don't think he's looking to run out of Memphis as soon as he possibly can.
Like, Anthony Edwards wants to be in Minneapolis. Like,
yeah. Like there are dudes now that are just like, yeah, I can build it anywhere. I care about having a good organization. I care. And that's, you know, from talking to the Wizards and listening to what they're doing, like that's what they're trying to do. Like we want to treat people really well. And Will Dawkins talked about this at his presser yesterday, where, you know, they had conversations with guys like Chris Middleton and Malcolm Brogdon and Marcus Smart. And they're like, how can we make your time here? It's not like, hey, we're going to keep you forever. Like we eventually want to, and they'll tell them like straight up when it's time, we'll flip you to someone who, you know, where you can go try to win at the end of your career. I mean, that was the agreed upon thing with Kyle Kuzma was like, hey, man, we want you here as long as you want to be here. And when it's time to go, you tell us and we'll get you out of here.
And last year was like, no, I don't really want to go to Dallas, right? Like he had an opportunity to go to Dallas.
To an extent, right? Yeah, there was that story, I think, got a little out over its skis. But if Kyle Kuzma had really, really wanted to go to Dallas last year,
there
were offers on the table, and I think that the Wizards would have done it, push comes to shove.
Right.
So 100% they want to make this, you know, and Will referenced a conversation he had with Marcus yesterday in the presser, and he's like, when he got here, we told him our number one goal for you is to help you find your joy again. You know, things did not go well for him in Memphis in the way that he wanted, the way that Memphis wanted. That happens. It's no one's fault. But now that you're here, how do we get you to enjoy basketball again? And you see him when Bob Carrington hits that shot in Miami to confuse Wizards fans' emotions as possibly could be because of the current lottery rules being what they are. And Marcus Smart's one of the first guys to go dive on Bob at the other end of the floor.
Yeah.
And like, that stuff is going to matter way more, I think, moving forward. And in some ways, it goes back to Durant. We're like, you know, oh my God, can Kevin Durant build a brand in Oklahoma City? And then he's the second biggest star in the sport. And once that answer was yes, I feel like the cat was out of the bag beyond LA, Miami, et cetera, even if those places, for the same old reasons that they've ever been, are still probably the top destinations for the top superstars.
Yeah, I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has a Skims sponsorship and a signature shoe and like
AT&T, and he's got Chet AT&T, with him in the AT&T commercials.
He's got a commercial that will not stop. It's on whether your TV's on or not. Like, it will come through. Like, it will turn your TV on. Like, there is, there's opportunity. Like, it's the internet, right? Like, it's the digital age. Like, that stuff doesn't matter in the same way. Like, yes, there are certain climates people want to be in and players want to be in, but for the most part, like, you can be a star anywhere. It is about building a culture that players want to be a part of, and it is about, you know, building a competitive, a competitive culture that players want to be a part of. And I think moments like Bub hitting that shot and Marcus Smart making that feel good, the veterans making that feel like, yes, you did something. Like, yes, all this losing was purposeful, but we still celebrate wins. Winning still matters, even in a losing season. Competition's good. Like, you need to, like, it was one of the things where early on with Charlotte this year, Charles Lee was trying to make them not Charlotte anymore. And he was trying to create a defensive mind. And that, like, you could see some of the, you know, the tenets of what he was trying to establish. And like, okay, like, maybe they won't be. And then they were Charlotte. Like, you just couldn't, like, you couldn't get it out of them. You couldn't delouse them of being Charlotte. Yeah. You could unhoard the Hornets, but you could at least say, like, okay, I see the plan. Like, you got to get rid of a lot of these players, but I can see the plan. Washington, even though they were so bad, I see the vision. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I see the vision, and the vision's good. It will just take time, but that's good. Like, bringing in Middleton and bringing in Marcus and bringing in Brogdon, like, you do need those veterans. You saw it in Houston the last couple of years of Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet and Jeff Green of like, you have young talent. Granted, that talent was better than where Washington's talent is now, but you have young talent. You need the veterans to help mold that. That's how it works.
Zach Harper from The Athletic with us here on The Hoffman Show. I think that also gets back to kind of the origins of this discussion, right? Of if you are trying to not Cobra effect this, right? For those that don't know what the Cobra effect is, basically, this is like ancient Egypt or whatever it was. I have it pulled up. British India back in the day, they had too many cobra snakes. And so they're like, everybody who brings us a cobra head, you get a reward. And then people started farming cobras so they could chop off their heads, and it actually made the problem worse. So if we're not trying to Cobra effect this thing in terms of winning is good, we should incentivize winning, then this all plays into it, right?
Right.
If you can encourage teams to win more, and that will help their team development as opposed to just trying to sink to the bottom, I think you can build these better cultures. Because, you know, I think this is a risk that the Wizards have taken well, where they're like, we're going to bring in the right veterans, and we're only going to play them so much, especially at the end of the season, because our young guys got a little too good. And if we had played the Washington Wizards, not the Capital City Go-Go, the last 10 games, because Utah was frantically running as fast as they could to the bottom, we would not be where we want to be in the lottery odds. But Houston, same thing. Like, they figured out how to kind of do that. Now, all of a sudden, they're the 2 seed in the West. You know, Chris Paul, being back in Oklahoma City a couple years ago, being a mentor to Shai. Like, it is, if we could do that more, I think that would be great. Is there something beyond, I guess the question for that, Zach, would be, is there something else beyond the lottery being changed that you think could help roster building wise to do that? I have one idea, but I'm curious if you have any others you want to spit out.
I think in theory, like, I'm very against this collective bargaining agreement. Which, I mean, does nothing because it's here, and I don't think they're going to peel back anything that exists. Like, I think that the first and second apron, mostly the second apron penalties, are just so short-sighted and really bad for teams. Penalizing teams for spending money to keep their team together.
Yes.
Like, that's going to hurt the Thunder. Yes. We should be celebrating what the Thunder have put together.
Right.
We should be encouraging, like, hey, you want to spend the money to keep this team? Like, yes, we will tax you, but restricting how they keep teams together is so stupid. It will at some point disperse veterans to other teams. And I think maybe that dispersing of veterans because you can't afford to keep them all together, maybe in theory will put them on the bad teams, kind of like we've seen, you know, in very different ways, but like you see Chris Middleton getting to Washington, like you see some of these veterans getting to other teams, and that will help young players. And I do think like that can maybe be the good effect, the very few good effects of this collective bargaining agreement. But I do think it just ends up being, are teams smart enough to create cultures of competition? You know, in Portland, at a certain point in the middle of the season, you know, fans were really angry at Chauncey Billups for bringing Shaedon Sharpe off the bench because he wasn't playing defense. Like, well, he's so talented. Like, why is he why are you benching him? Like, well, you should be able to prove that you are a starter. I don't think it, like, my first year being a credentialed media member was the Tyreke Evans rookie year, and I was covering the Kings. And I remember fans were very upset that Omri Caspi wasn't starting. He was also a rookie that year. And Francisco Garcia was the starter over him. And Francisco Garcia was a solid veteran wing, right? And my point then was, if you can't prove that you are better than Francisco Garcia and deserve that starting role, then you're not a starter, even for a rebuilding team.
Right.
And I think creating, earning minutes, even if you're a super talented young player, I think that's the culture. Even these rebuilding teams, even these bad teams like Washington, Utah, Charlotte, all, like, you should absolutely have to earn your spot no matter what. And that, like, I think that instilling that in these teams, and I think you're starting to see that a little bit more as these teams try to get serious, as these bad franchises try to get serious, that's kind of what it takes. It's a veteran presence, and that I don't care what your agent or your contract says, like, you've got to earn your minutes.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And, you know, something else that Dawkins said that I thought was interesting, because he was asked about the pick that Washington has next year, which is top eight protected. And the question, I credit Varun Shankar from the Washington Post for asking it. And he was like, is that going to affect how you play this season? And Will was basically like, we'll probably be playing a lot of young guys, but if our young guys are great and we shoot over that, then cool. Like, I'm fine with it. And I actually believe them. There, if it's close at the end, like, they'll be playing the Capital City Go-Go again to keep that pick, because that is a big deal. Yeah. Keeping that pick versus having it be 2 seconds the year after to the Knicks for a trade that's like 7 years ago at this point.
Right.
That I think Tommy Shepard made, but it might even be before that. That's a crazy thing that the Wizards are going to have to deal with. But like, if you're too good, and especially because you got Cooper Flagg, you're too good, that definitely changes the equation. The other thing that I would say for me from like a rule standpoint and the money and an idea that I've had for a while is, I think the Supermax is the dumbest thing going in the NBA. Because if you are incentivizing, like, hey, we'll pay you more than everyone else. Okay, cool. They can't offer you the contract, we can. Why would you offer that to some, like, you are having to bet against yourself, and it's meant to reward players.
Sure.
But why can't we have an exception in the salary cap? Not that we need more exceptions, but like, just have the supermax contract count the same as a max contract for another team, because you're basically punishing the team for rewarding the player, which all the agents are like, if you don't give me that contract, then he's going to go somewhere else for less money. And it's a very stupid construct.
It should be the, like, yes, you pay him the money, but it only counts the same as the other contract against the cap. Yeah. Like, I'm with you. It's funny, because I was writing a few weeks ago, I was writing about the all NBA teams, right? And I was like, you know, I was trying to decide, like, is Jaren Jackson Jr. going to make it? And if he makes it, he's going to be eligible for the Supermax. And I kind of wrote as like this aside, I'm like, oddly enough, Grizzlies fans should hope he doesn't.
Yeah.
Because it's actually better for the building of the franchise if he doesn't get it. And you would think, like, no, I want my guy. Like, I root for him. I've got his jersey. I like, love Jaren Jackson Jr. I want him to get these accolades. But it's actually better in the long run for the team if he doesn't, which is a crazy way to have to then think about rewarding the player and the team and everything. Like it, you're right. Like it does work against the team, and you should always want your favorite players and your team to get the accolades. It is like a very backward concept. And then, and as a, like, I'm lucky enough to be a voter, and people have asked me like, well, you know, you got to factor in the money that, you know, these guys can earn from. I'm like, I don't have to factor in anything. I've never factored. Like, that's not my fault. I don't, yeah, like, that's not my rule. Like, I'd never factor stuff in with that, with the contracts and stuff, because that shouldn't be on me. So like, it, to me, it is just what happened that season, and that's it. Like, I don't factor in anything else outside of that, because that's somebody else's decision.
100%. And the, again, NBA office, we know you're listening. They're not listening. but if somehow this clip finds you, incentivize winning and incentivize teams being good. That's how your league should run.
What a crazy concept.
We could have ended this thing 20 minutes ago and been just fine with that. But that really, there's the details if you need them. Zach Harper, where can folks check out more of your stuff, whether it's the writing, the podcast, et cetera?
You could subscribe to The Athletic, which is great. It's well worth the money. If I understand, not everybody wants to pay for content. You could subscribe to The Athletic's basketball newsletter, which is free. TheAthletic.com/TheBounce. I write it every day, Monday through Friday. TheAthletic.com/TheBounce. All of our newsletters are great. So we got it for every sport. We got one called The Pulse that does everything. Check out podcasts, Basketball Illuminati. If you like bad movies, do a bad movie podcast called Cinephobe. Get that wherever you get podcasts.
There you go. Zach Harper, everybody else can follow him at Talk Hoops on the social medias. We'll be back with probably not more on this, because we've already solved all the NBA's problems, next on The Hoffman Show.
Hey, this is DA, and you're listening to The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube too, on the Team 980. When that beat dropped, Anthony, it's a good thing we were still in commercial break.
Why?
I think we both lost our minds a little bit.
Oh, I didn't get to see you then.
It was a long break, and then we were kind of like, I'm awake.
Yep.
We're awake. We're ready to go. It's 5:35 on a Friday afternoon in the District of Columbia, where eventually, a couple years from now, we're hoping to be previewing playoff basketball for the Washington Wizards. Unfortunately, We've put the bow on the Wizards season already. We anxiously await the NBA draft lottery. I believe the date is May 12th, but who is counting? And instead, we preview everyone else that is still playing basketball. Of course, there's play-in games tonight, Anthony, although I don't think if we do the old preview and prediction deal, I don't think tonight's outcomes are going to affect our predictions for the playoffs.
No, not at all.
AKA the winners tonight who become the 8 seeds, I don't think we're going to pick them to beat the 1 seeds.
Yeah.
All right. Should we start with the East or start with the West? Initially, we were going to start with the West.
I think we should start with the East.
What'd you say?
I think we should start with the East.
I think we should start with the East, too. We're going to save the best for last. And with all due respect to the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference playoffs are more exciting. The Eastern Conference Finals will go something like this. The Cleveland Cavaliers will take on either the Atlanta Hawks or the Miami Heat. The only 8 seeds that have won series over number 1 seed since the first round went to best of 7 in 2003 were the 03 Phoenix Suns versus San Antonio, the 07 Golden State Warriors, the We Believe Warriors versus the Mavs, and the 2016 Pistons versus the Cavs. I do not think this Cavs team is going to succumb to either the Heat or the Hawks, Anthony. I don't know how much more we have to say about this. The Cavs are really, really good, and if it wasn't for the Thunder, they would be the unheralded story of the NBA. They are a 60-plus win team. They are really good defensively. Donovan Mitchell is he's an interesting playoff performer. He's had massive games in the playoffs. He's also had some real stinkers, but I trust him around this time of year. And as long as they stay healthy, they should more than do their part here to create the collision course we all think is going to happen between them and Boston in the conference final.
Yeah, they're going to sweep whoever is the 8 seed. If it's the Hawks, if it's the Heat, it doesn't matter. Defensively, they're just too good. And then Darius Garland, him coming on, you also have, you know, Spida. And then also they have Evan Mobley, who has grown into – I think he's one of the more underrated guys just because he's quiet. Personalities, you know, also quiet too. So I think just them being able to, you know, work together throughout the season – I think they're ready. They're ready for Cleveland.
They are. I will say this. Good note from Kevin Pelton in his preview. I've got Pelton's preview up, so we'll get a couple KP nuggets in here, which is always a good addition to the show. The Hawks have been, if they win tonight, a bit of a thorn in Cleveland's side this season. They're 2-1, and remember Cleveland started 21-3. Two of the losses were to Atlanta. So Atlanta seems like the more viable matchup there, but we'll see what happens tonight between Atlanta and Miami. The spunky Orlando Magic, who put a butt whooping on Atlanta the other night to become the 7th seed, their reward, the defending champion Celtics. This will be a good learning experience for the Magic.
It will. Also, the Celtics just have too much shooting on the outside. Jaylen Brown, you know, his knee injury, that is something to watch and monitor, but I still think without him, they just have too much firepower.
There's a part of me that's like, just sit him for game one.
I would just sit him.
Sit him. Yeah. Sit him until you lose a game. And then if he can play, great. But you just try to not, like, he needs to be right for later. Mm-hmm. They can and should be able to win the series without him, even though that's not how things go. All right, Knicks and Pistons. What if I told you Cade Cunningham has become a top 15 player in the NBA? What if I told you Cade Cunningham might be a top 10 player in the NBA?
I would agree.
I think based off the season he had, it's almost hard to make a case otherwise. Now, it's going to be interesting because so many guards had so many good years, but there's a real good chance Kane Cunningham's making one of the first two All-NBA teams at the guard position. He might make first team. I mean, he had an unbelievable season. And defensively, like, they're pretty good. And Cunningham, by the way, specifically, excellent against the Knicks, averaged 30.8 points, 8.3 assists against the Knicks this season. But we all know that the Knicks are a very, very tough team. That's the kind of team that you want in the playoffs. My question with Thibs teams always, though, is they play so hard night in, night out. What happens when everyone else plays that hard, too? That's really my question, is they play at playoff intensity, which is a credit to them, but when everyone else is playing at playoff intensity, your advantage on intensity dissipates. Now what? And I don't know the answer to that. I'll pick the Knicks in this series. I think their experience and Jalen Brunson's shot making is the difference, but it would not surprise me if the Pistons pull an upset here.
Give me the Pistons, man. I think they've tried their very best to, you know, bring back the bad boys intensity and like play style to their to roster, and then to have Cade Cunningham, the season he's had and the player he's blossomed into is incredible, and it just speaks to, you know, trusting the process, to be honest. And I think he's doing a good job out there. I think he's going to be a matchup nightmare. They don't have a guy out there. Josh Hart is my guy, but he's giving Josh Hart fits all season.
Yeah. The other X factor here is potentially Malik Beasley. Mm-hmm, 319 three-pointers this season, ranked second in the NBA. But he has struggled before in the playoffs, shooting just 26.9% on threes during the 2023 postseason with the Lakers. Obviously, Detroit's offense going to rely a lot on that. So can they do that? We'll see. Didn't someone pass him on the final? Was it Anthony Edwards?
Anthony Edwards. He needed so
like
Malik
eight
Beasley,
threes or something.
Malik Beasley tweeted him and was like, "Anthony, you need seven to pass me for the season and for the most threes all time by a Timberwolves player." And Anthony went out there and dropped it. I think he hit eight.
Yeah, he sure did. He sure did. But Beasley now with the Pistons. Pacers and Bucks, this is the 4-5 matchup, and it got a lot more interesting yesterday because Damian Lillard has been cleared of the deep vein thrombosis that was in his shoulder, the blood clot issue. He's off the blood thinners, and thus he is going to be ready to play theoretically somewhere in this series. Game one is Saturday. He is out for that game, but there's a 2-day break before game two on Tuesday, and he could potentially come back as early as that. This to me is a total matchup of styles. You know, the Bucks, they can be a little grimy. The Pacers are one of the fastest teams in the league, but also, do you want to get in a track meet with Giannis in the playoffs where he's just going to run his face off the entire time? So I think this is really interesting. They also just don't have a good matchup. They got a bunch of like smaller, quicker, like the Pacers are a pain if you have a bunch of perimeter oriented guys, because they got guys like Nembhard who guard really, really hard. They don't have bigs like that. Like it's probably going to be Pascal Siakam on Giannis. And at this point in Pascal's career, that is a major advantage for Giannis.
Yeah, I'm not sure who I want to go with in this series. I don't think the Bucks have the scoring to keep up with the Pacers. So I think I'm going to end up going with the Pacers. If Dame does come back for game two, though, I think that will change my stance. But I think if he misses the first two games, it's the Pacers to win. You can't give a team two games in the playoffs.
I'm going to just simply go. I've got two different theories in NBA playoff series. One is very matchup deficient or driven, and like just look at the matchups and see what's obvious and see if anything stands out. The other is who's the best player in the series. Giannis is the best player in the series, all due respect to Tyrese Halliburton, who's excellent. And you combine the fact that they don't have anybody to match up with him, I'll take Milwaukee. So I got Milwaukee, New York, and then the two favorites, Boston and Cleveland. Anthony's got Boston, Cleveland, Detroit and Indiana. That's the East. We will preview and pick the West when we get back here on the Team 980.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well. At the Team 980, where for some reason, Anthony, the whole screen that you were on just shrunk. That's all right. We're going to get Anthony back on the screen expeditiously in three, two, oh, let me start the countdown over. In three, two, one. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Haney on the internet, if you're watching on YouTube. Anthony, let's preview the Western Conference playoffs now. Before we are joined at 6 o'clock by Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic. Mike wrote a big old story on sports gambling and the ring of sports gambling that involved and enraptured, not enraptured, that would be a nice pun, but enraptured Jontae Porter, the former Raptors guard, and seems to be a lot bigger than just Jontae Porter. We talked to Mike about that and the state of sports gambling, and we didn't get a chance. We did that earlier in the week, and then the RFK story broke, so we didn't get a chance to play it for you. So we are going to play that coming up at 6 o'clock. Really interesting conversation, kind of about the, I would say, the biggest constant story in sports right now. But NBA playoffs this weekend. The Oklahoma City Thunder will take on either the Memphis Grizzlies or the Dallas Mavericks. Anthony, do either of these teams have a chance of winning one game against the 68-win Thunder?
Would you say one game?
Yeah.
Maybe. No, I don't think so, to be honest. No.
Yeah, I they could get one.
Maybe game three. I think game three would be the game if they're going to get a game. After that, no, they're not winning another game.
That does feel correct. This game tonight, by the way, has huge Wizards implications. Are you aware of this, Anthony?
Essentially, if the Grizz clinch,
if the Grizz win, the Wizards get a first round pick.
There we go.
If not, they get some seconds next year. So
we need them to win tonight.
Let's go Grizzlies. Let's go Grizzlies. If you either are watching this game tonight or you're waking up tomorrow morning and checking the score first thing, that might be me, you are hoping to see Grizzlies advance. One, it would make Nico Harrison sad, and we are pro that on this show because he traded Luka Doncic, and that's one of the dumbest things that's ever happened. Two, it would get the Wizards a first-round pick, and we like first-round picks around here. First-round picks are good. Golden State and Houston. This is going to be an incredible series. You have the team that is likely the second favorite coming out of the West because they have been the second best team in the West since acquiring Jimmy Butler in Golden State, going against the actual two seed in the West in Houston. Houston is young and they are scrappy, but they also have really, really, really good vets that have a ton of playoff experience, including against the Warriors. Steven Adams, Jeff Green, Fred VanVleet, of course, VanVleet on that Toronto team that beat Golden State in the 2019 finals. And there's Dylan Brooks, who feels like he's going to try to start a fight with Jimmy and or Draymond, and we'll see if he succeeds. The best player on the Houston Rockets, the one that you need to know, is Alperen Şengün. Their big man is excellent, and you know, the Golden State Warriors, for as great as they are, they don't have, you know, Draymond's their big in their best lineups. Ken Green at his size deal with Şengün at his? There's no other 6'7" guy I'd pick in the league to do it. But I do think that if I'm Houston, I need Alperen Şengün to average about 35 in this series and then hope that, you know, Dylan Brooks and everyone else on the perimeter can do what they need to do against Steph. But obviously that's a lot harder with Jimmy on the floor.
Yeah, I think Şengün is definitely going to have himself a big series. One person you didn't mention, Jalen Green. I think this could be a series where he steps up. And also, Amen Thompson, he's going to be tasked with defending Steph Curry. The last time they played, he held him to one field goal, Craig. He held him to one field goal. The length, his athleticism, his speed, like, I don't know. This could definitely be a series that goes seven. And I think, to be honest, this is my favorite series out of all the Western Conference series, including my Lakers.
Yeah, this series is going to be fascinating because the thing is, like, yeah, Thompson's unbelievable as a defender, but Steph Curry. Like, Steph will figure it out. And, oh, that's the beauty of this is why I love the NBA playoffs. The problem solving that has to happen compared to the average regular season game of what you do with lineups. I mean, Jonathan Kuminga's out of the rotation right now for Golden State. He could very easily be a X factor in a series and help them win a championship. The current night-to-night rotation, their best version, is without Jonathan Kuminga. But in this series, could he come in and provide a different kind of offense, a different kind of push, different kind of punch? Yeah, he could. Like, that's the beauty of it. So it's fun to see, and obviously these are two coaches with a ton of playoff experience, championship level experience. So it's going to be fun to watch. Your Lakers, Anthony, are hosting, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Lakers, the 3 seed, T-Wolves, the 6, from Kevin Pelton's article. Amusingly, this features the second largest West gap, between the two teams in point differential after the 1-8 series. Only it favors the lower seeded Timberwolves +5, who were second to Oklahoma City in point differential amongst Western teams. The Lakers +1.2, ranked 8th, but they have home court advantage nonetheless. Of course, that's also a season-long stat. The Lakers' season changed dramatically when they got that Luka Doncic fella. I am taking LA in this series because I think in playoff basketball, the ability to control games is really important, and I don't know that there's two better guys in the whole entire league at controlling the pace and controlling the action of a game than Luka and LeBron.
I forgot to mention, I'm taking the Warriors in the...
Oh, I'm also taking the Warriors.
For the Lakers, yeah, I'm taking the Lakers in this series. I do think there's some pressure on Luka Doncic to go out there and perform in the playoffs. But I'm not going to lie, looking across at Anthony Edwards, he does scare me a little bit. He's had some big games this season. He's shooting the ball from three extremely well. The only thing is, where's his help? Can Rudy Gobert be that help? Julius Randle be that help? And I just don't think I wouldn't put my trust in those guys over a LeBron James and also Reeves, who Luka has.
Yeah, I mean, Reeves is playing so confidently right now. I will take the Lakers as well. And then the 4-5, Denver Nuggets, LA Clippers. Is this the year that finally Kawhi can stay healthy in a playoff series?
Woo!
I'm gonna guess yes, and because he's just starting to play, and if he does, then I'm taking the Clippers, and if not, I'm taking the Nuggets. And I know that's a cop-out answer, but that's I'd rather be right. If Kawhi plays 6 of the 7 games, give me the Clippers. If he plays less than that, give me the Nuggets.
Okay, well, I'll be taking the Clippers. I think he's going to stay healthy. They did a good job of, you know, load managing him throughout the season in time for him to, you know, show up and show out in the playoffs. And I think he's going to be able to do that. Also, is Jamal Murray back for the Nuggets?
It does appear that Jamal Murray,
is going to be
back, but we'll see what kind of shape he's in. Yeah. Sometimes it takes a little bit to find it, but Jamal Murray is a playoff player. Has been absolutely ridiculous over the past bunch of years. All right. Those are our picks. Those are the previews. NBA playoffs start tomorrow. And again, go Grizzlies tonight in terms of what it means for the Wizards and their future draft capital. When we get back here on the Team 980, Mike Vorkunov is going to join us from The Athletic. He wrote about sports gambling this week, including some new details on how Jonte Porter got caught. And then we shift the discussion into the current state of play for gambling in the NBA and in sports in general. Is there a way to maybe keep it legal, but maybe not get it in our faces all the time? Mike and I talk about that next on The Hoffman Show.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.